desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon as we look in the Word of God. I know it's afternoon and it can be a tiring time, so if you get sleepy and want to stand up, you feel free this afternoon. That won't bother me at all. I'd like to begin this afternoon over in the book of Joshua. If you will turn with me to the 23rd chapter, we'll begin reading. Joshua chapter 23, beginning with verse 11, said, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves." Now when the scripture says to take good heed, that means pay attention. This is something to be aware of, something to be cognizant of. He said, "Take good heed thereof unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God." Do you know this was spoken a long time ago? But if you want to take some advice home with you, whether you're young or old in the Lord this afternoon, take good heed that you love the Lord your God. And I will tell you, in all of the issues that you face when you go home from this meeting, all of the questions that you have, is it okay to do this or shouldn't I do this? You know that there are struggles that are real to all of us about what the Lord wants us to do, what's permissible and not permissible. Is this good for me or is it not good for me? Do you realize that if we take heed to love the Lord our God, it's going to answer a lot of questions for us in life? That's keeping it simple, saints. But if we would take heed and be watchful, don't just go into things blindly, but be watchful and careful that we love the Lord in everything that we do, we're going to find a place of great protection in the Lord. He went on to say this, "Else, if you do anywise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given to you." Now keep in mind, he's talking to the children of Israel who had been enslaved in Egypt. These had been slaves, and the Lord had given them their liberty. Now I trust that each and every one of us has liberty today. And if you don't have liberty in the Lord, you're really missing out. The scripture said over in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free," what? "Ye shall be free indeed." In other words, without question, you're going to be liberated. If you are free today in the Lord, you have something very wonderful to hold on to. You have something very valuable. And I am thankful for freedom today. You know, freedom is, it means I'm not bound any longer. It means I have liberty. I have freedom of movement. It means I have freedom of decision. I'm not being forced anymore. But this is a reality that many people face after they have been liberated. Could someone write something on the board? Brianna, can you help me out, please? Can you write on the board for me, please, restrictive or protective? Restrictive or protective? Question mark. Something I would like us, by the help of the Lord, to consider this afternoon. Because when the Spirit of the Lord sets us free, folks, we are free indeed. And the Lord does not want us to get saved, young people. The Lord does not want us to get saved and feel like we're being put in a box and we can't do anything any longer. Thank you. the Lord saves us that we could enjoy our freedom in the Lord. But it is a trick of the enemy to make us think that if we get saved, we are going to be bound up and just can't do anything anymore. Can't go here and I can't do that. I can't listen to that music and I have to dress this way. Drudgery. Do you know that doesn't really sound like salvation to me? Because salvation is to be liberating. Salvation is for the purpose of setting us free from something that we can do what we want to. Now, don't be scared of that. In salvation, that I have traded in my bondage, I've been forgiven of my sin, I've been set free from the power of the flesh, and I've been given something better. And so the question is then, are there going to be things in life that, because I'm free, does that mean I can just do anything I want to do? Well, you know, when we have been set free in the Lord, it means we're no longer under the dominion or restraint of the enemy. We've been set free from the slavery of sin and of the flesh. But with freedom this afternoon comes responsibility. With freedom comes responsibility. We are not under the law any longer. We are not living under the old dispensation. We have been set free and we are living under grace today. We're living under grace. We're living under a power that is working within us that we're no longer under the bondage of a set or list of rules. Salvation is about a work that Christ does in our heart. But now that I'm saved and I get up from the altar, I've been set free. I've been delivered from my sin. Folks, that does not mean that I have the right to go and go anywhere I want to go and go back and do anything I want to do because the Lord has given me a gift of freedom. Which means I need to be responsible with the freedom that the Lord has given me. And that is exactly what he is telling the children of Israel. I set you free. You went out and you conquered these nations. I don't want to see you under bondage to them anymore. I delivered you from all of the false gods that are out there. I don't want to see you go back to them. And so he gave them some instruction. And his instruction was, take heed that you love the Lord. Loving God means putting him first in every single area of your life. Which means in all the decisions you make, say, Lord, do I love you more than I do this thing? And then I began to ask myself, how will this affect me spiritually? If I listen to that. You know, these are real struggles that people have. And young people this afternoon, do not feel unique. Because you might struggle with music, the entertainment of the world, and yes, the outward appearance. But I want you to recognize today that when the Lord has given you salvation, the Lord does not want you to be living a life that I am restricted from doing anything that I want to, and if you get saved, you can't have any fun, till the point that you feel so restricted, you lose your salvation. Well, he told him, he said, take heed that you love else. If you do anything other than this and you cleave to the remnant of these nations, he said, or those that remain among you or make marriages with them, he said, there's going to be a consequence. He said, know for a certainty, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he said that they are going to be a snare and a trap to you. And eventually, he said, I'm not going to drive, you're not going to be able to conquer the other nations. You're not going to have victory any longer. Folks, I do not want to live a life of being restrictive. I'm just restricted in my salvation. But I do want to do this. I want to protect what the Lord has given to me. When the Lord has saved me and set me free from the flesh, and he's given me liberty in the Spirit of God, I don't want to go back to the world. Which means I don't want to view what the children of Israel here were. Think about them for a moment. They could say, here the Lord delivered us from Egypt, and now he's saying, well, you can't marry the people of these nations, and you have to be careful, don't get entangled with them. And they could say, oh, how restrictive it is. You know, that's the perspective the enemy would like all of us to have this afternoon. That serving the Lord is restrictive. But do you know the Lord did not give this commandment to the children of Israel to make life difficult for them? The Lord gave them this commandment because he wanted them to maintain their liberty and their freedom. And you know, a lot of it, they may have all ended up doing the same thing. One person could have said, well, I can't marry him, and over here just and all in the spiritual moly grubs because this is just restrictive. So I have to marry from this pool over here among the children of Israel. And then someone else could have said, the Lord delivered me. I don't want to go back to the false gods. This is an opportunity for me to be protective of something that God has given me. So I'm going to marry within other people, within the group of those that are serving the Lord. You know, there's some real practical implications of that for us today too. If we love the Lord with all of our heart, how could I join myself to someone in the closest, most intimate relationship of all human relationships in marriage with someone that does not have a common love for God? Folks, today that very thing will still be a snare and a trap. But we need not see it as restrictive, but see it as something that is protective for something better that the Lord has given to us. Well, the scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That sounds pretty good. We like liberty. We live in a country that is really, they're promoting this, do whatever you want to do. Do whatever feels good. Whatever comes to your mind, you be who you want to be. Be at liberty. Well, the scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is. Do you know that does not mean the casual, loose attitude that is amongst our society today? To experience our freedom and liberty in the Holy Spirit is not going to be restrictive, but it's going to bring about some protections in our life, folks. It's going to mean that I don't want to go everywhere that I can because I want to protect the freedom that I have. If there were a live electric cord up here and a child came up to pick it up, and you say, no, don't touch that. They go away saying, they're being mean. They're just restricting me from playing with that. Is that why we would tell a child not to play with a live electric cord? No, it's for the purpose of their protection. You're alive right now. You play with that, it'll kill you. Eventually, you might die, so don't do that. You know, although we live under grace, there are things that the Scripture teaches us in the New Testament that gives us parameters for our behavior, parameters for our conduct, parameters for... yes, these hot button issues. You know, well, the Bible doesn't say how to wear it. It doesn't say where it, you can't wear, spell out, you can't go here and you can't. There are principles that the Scripture give to us that outline the parameters of acceptable behavior and conduct as a child of God. Those things were not meant to be restrictive. They were meant to be protective, folks. And if you ever start feeling like you are in bondage in your service to the Lord, it is time to come and ask the Lord to renew your mind and perspective. Because I found often when people start feeling restricted in their Christian experience, they're going to start letting some things go. And there's a lot of things that are there to be a trap and a snare. And there's been too many people that have lost their soul. Lord, help us to have a godly perspective this afternoon in these choices and decisions that we all make every day? Well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. How much do we value our liberty? God has laid down governing principles for us in Ezekiel in the 43rd chapter, 12th verse. The scripture said, this is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, it's talking about Mount Zion now, it's talking about for God's people. On the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Folks, if there is a guiding principle, number one, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Every choice you make, are you loving God in that decision? And secondly, there is a law that we are to follow in the New Testament, prophesied all the way back in Ezekiel. The law of the house is one of holiness. Because without holiness, what's the scripture say? No man shall please the Lord, right? It's impossible. We won't see the Lord. Folks, when we're saved, we have seen the Lord. I've been set free. I value my freedom today. I value that in the Lord. But do you know that doctrine, that's not something to be afraid of. Doctrine and New Testament biblical teachings were there not to restrict, but to protect the relationship that we have with God. To protect it. Freedom does not mean the right to do everything I want to do, but it gives guidance to us. And folks, guarding our freedom does not mean that we're in bondage. My billfold is in my back pocket. It's folded up in a piece, and I button, and sometimes in certain countries, I'll put it in my front pocket. Do you know that I am not trying to restrict my use of what's in that billfold? It's meant to be a protection. Because I want to be the one to get in there. If anybody's going to get in that billfold, I want it to be me. Do you realize the enemy would like to come along and cause us to think that these principles of practical holiness, they're just restrictive? You don't have to do that. No, folks, they're not restrictive. There are things in my life I don't want to do because I don't want the enemy trying to rob what God has given to me. And the enemy has a design to rob each and every one of us of the true liberty and freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Which means we need to do as he told them over in Galatians. Maybe we'll just turn and read in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Very familiar passage. He said, stand fast. Therefore, in what? In the liberty. Stand fast in your freedom this afternoon. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Now, saints, Lord, help us to stand fast in our liberty. Oh, it's so restrictive serving the Lord. Have you all heard that, or is it just me? Young people, if you've heard it too, devil's gonna come on and whisper it to you. I want you to know the devil has been said. The devil is a liar. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. It's kind of like if the Lord delivers me from alcohol and drunkenness, do I have the liberty to go in the bar the next day and pass out tracts? I have the liberty to. I have the right to. But I'll tell you what, it won't be real smart. Because it used to be my downfall. The Lord saved me. He set me free. I don't want to place myself in an environment that could possibly draw me back to the very thing that the Lord delivered me from. So while I might have the liberty, and you may say, Brother Michael, I have liberty to do it, and you can't tell me any different. I agree with you. Folks, there are liberties today that you have the right to do certain things. But here was a caution. Stand fast in your freedom. What freedom? Your freedom from sin. Your freedom from the world. Your freedom from the flesh. Stand fast in that liberty and don't get entangled with them again. Which means when I make practical decisions in my life and say, I'm not going to listen to that. Why not? I mean, everybody listens to it. You've heard that one too, right? Everybody is. Well, what is it? How is it affecting my liberty in Christ? How is it affecting my relationship with the Lord? Take good heed that you love the Lord your God. In other words, don't think it's restrictive, but say every time I listen to this, it gets me in this worldly mindset, and it starts to cover up or hinder the communion I have with God. You don't need the preacher to go home and go through your CDs. Well, we don't even have CDs anymore, do we? Your MP3, your phone, whatever you're listening on, you don't need the preacher to go through that. Folks, stand fast in your liberty. It's not restrictive. This is protective. I want to protect the freedom that the Lord has given to me. Well, so stand fast in it. So it means I'm not going to do everything I want to do in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when the Lord has set you free, walk in the Spirit. Don't go back to the fleshly things the Lord has delivered you from, even if you have the right to do it. Amen. Even if you have the right, how much do you value your salvation? How much do we value the liberty and the peace? When I go to bed at night and I have the peace of the Lord in my life, how much do I value that when I know we could get in our arguments today and say, well, is it sin to go there? And is it sin to do that? And we need to back up a little bit from that conversation. It's not just an issue of sin, because most of us will not wake up one morning and say, I think I'll backslide today. Backsliding tends to be a process that does not start with black and white sin. It starts with getting a little bit too close to the edge of things that are not spiritually edifying. And the devil says, oh, it's just restrictive. You don't need to hold that on yourself. Lord, help me to guard and protect the freedom that you've given me, because next year I still want to be saved. Which means then now it's not just an issue of sin or not, it's an issue of how is this affecting my walk with God? How is it affecting my communion with the Lord? Walk circumspectly, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. Circumspectly means looking around, considering all the circumstances before acting, before making a decision, before deciding. Folks, we need to be circumspect today. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, there used to be preaching against the moving picture. Y'all know that, right? The moving picture. And we say, we don't even call it that today. But do you know, today the moving picture is life moves. So just because I have a still shot from a camera and then something is actually moving, is it that movement that made it wrong? No, it's not the moving picture. But look how the enemy has used, in different forms of technology, look how the enemy has used what started as what they called the moving picture. And then it went from, then you had the movies, and you had the television, and then you had the VCRs. I'll tell you, as a young pastor, many years ago, one of my first battles was, someone was offended at me because we got a camcorder for home. We did not have a VCR. We did not watch videos. We did not bring that stuff in. But we had a camcorder to record our little children. And someone had a problem with me. And you know, when you're young in the ministry, those things can devastate. And today I say, oh Lord, if that was my only problem. Welcome the storms. Do you know that those kinds of things, though, it really troubled me. But the thing is, there was nothing wrong with it. But someone had in their mind, there's something moving here. But we want to be circumspect and realize what happened. There were some that said, okay, we're not going to have a VCR. And then they had all their rental stores all over the place. And okay, not going to do that. And then the devil knows what he's doing. Then the library, you can check something out for free, right? You know the devil's a pretty smart fella. Lord wants us to be smarter by his Spirit. And then, see, there's this transition. There, do you not think that any saints ever watched anything on a camcorder or checked anything out the library? What do y'all think? I'm not going to, if we had little buttons to have a survey at your seat. Do you think the moment someone watched the moving picture, they lost their salvation? It's all right to say no. Thank you, Brother Michael. It's not. It did not mean that they lost their salvation right there. But I want to tell you something. There have been so many stories and so many examples of what started out in innocence that someone had the right to do it. They had the privilege to do it. They didn't lose their salvation. How the enemy used it to start drawing them in until their time and their mind was occupied with things that were not, first of all, not of God, but secondly, they had to start looking over just little things that didn't measure up to a law of holiness. We see enough garbage just living in this world without bringing garbage into our home, saints. It's a little hard to tell my children, abstain from all the evil. There's things you're going to see. There's grace for us to live godly in this generation. But if I choose to bring that garbage in my home, I'm moving right outside of God's grace. And Lord, why didn't you help me? Where was your grace? You chose to get out from under it when you began to walk after the flesh. This is not an indictment on watching anything. Don't get the point. Understand something. It's an illustration how the enemy has used it time and time again. And so we don't want to view things in our life when the Spirit comes in and says, be careful here. Don't see it as restrictive, all right? Just say, Lord, is this a protection for me? Will this help me? Will this help in our home, Lord? Not restrictive. Folks, what we start feeding is who we become. I don't want the enemy to steal our peace, our joy, the inheritance we have. And you know, when we drive recklessly, we not only endanger ourselves, but we endanger other people. Think about Solomon for a moment. He turned away from the commandment that God had given about marrying women of other nations. It had nothing to do with interracial marriage. It had to do with marrying women that worship false gods, is what he was talking about. And he told him, he said, don't do it. He said, don't do it. But Solomon, in his own thinking, thought, well, I can form an alliance and it's politically advantageous. And the consequence was, it said, in his old age. Didn't happen overnight. Because Solomon might have thought, you know, that commandment of the Lord's pretty restrictive. And I'm not going to turn my heart away from God. I love God, but this is a little too restrictive, folks. He should have seen it as protective. Because he ended up losing his soul over it. We would do well in life, folks, to consider the liberty that we have in the Lord. The preaching of liberty is not a compromise message, saints. We are at liberty in the Lord. But liberty does not give us in the Spirit the right to do and go in however we want, but rather my choices now are formed and based upon the fact that I want to preserve the liberty that the Lord has given to me. I want to preserve it. We need as a people to be adult enough and spiritually mature enough to recognize that there are going to be some differences sometimes between individuals. But we also should not be so childish that we resent the warnings that come for those things that are meant to be a protection to us. You understand the difference? The Lord has given us some teaching and instruction in holiness, folks, that will be a great help to us. And we appreciate the example of those that have gone on before. But, folks, we want to be careful that we say, well, Brother Michael doesn't do just like I am, so, well, he must not be saved. No, I've got to give him room in his relationship with God, in his liberty in the Lord. There might be some minor differences, but with that, let me say this. As we walk in truth and walk in the Spirit, I've also found that we usually are going to end up not too far apart when there is a common love of God esteeming truth where it stands. And if I see that, you know, I'm having some struggles here, and I look at my brother and sister and say, you know, the Lord's blessing them. What are they doing? Oh, there's some protections there. Those protections might be the exact thing I needed in my life to keep the enemy at bay from stealing the victory that I have in Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all remember the rest of it? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This scripture did not just say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, put on the Lord Jesus and don't make provision for it. Now, the ministers are not to be our Holy Spirit, folks. Their job is to preach what the Holy Spirit gives them. But it is so important that we have the Holy Spirit in our life to keep us from going down that path that will take us back to the very thing the Lord delivered us from. Make not provision. So I would just say in love, if you're struggling, if there's anyone here struggling this afternoon with this, I'm feeling so restrictive. It's feeling so restrictive in the Lord. I want to encourage you to realize the freedom and liberty that the Lord has really given you. And the reason I don't do that is because I am protecting something more precious that God has given in life, and the devil tries to make it look like we can't do anything. Song says we do just what we want to, we go where'er we please, and that's what we're doing here today. Why are you here this afternoon? Now, maybe your mom and dad made you be here. You're afraid what someone would think if you didn't show up. I know a nap would have been nice in an air-conditioned room. But, folks, there's something that drives the decisions we make. It's, Lord, I love you. And I want to grow. And if there's something I can get for my soul, I want to get hold of it. So if you wrestle with feeling a little restricted sometimes, that is common to man. Don't be discouraged with that. But recognize it is a trick of the enemy to cause saints of God, especially young people, to think, well, we just can't do anything fun. No, we have liberty in the Lord this afternoon, but I want to protect in my life the liberty that the Lord has given to us. I don't want to be entangled again. Scripture said, before we close, in 1 Corinthians 6:12, it said, all things are lawful unto me. Some people struggle with that. He wasn't talking about the sinful things. There are some things, folks, we need to have extended mercy and long-suffering sometimes with a brother or sister that may be doing some things. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, there's probably some things that you might be doing that I wouldn't do. So we need to be careful. But at the same time, he said, all things are lawful. I can make a case for it. But he said, all things are not expedient. And he said, all things are lawful for me, but all not be brought under the power of any. Is it edifying? See, these are just basic questions in the things we do. All of these, you know what we talk about, hot button issues. You know, you feel like you have to dress this way. Well, first of all, what's the Bible say? And secondly, then, in my own personal life with the Lord, Lord, I want to be careful. Maybe it's lawful, but is it expedient? Is it wise? Is it conducive to holiness? Will it set an example that will lead people down a road that draws them closer to God? Or will it drop, may cause people to think, oh, these things don't matter anymore, and then someone eventually lose their soul because of it. Well, Lord, help us to recognize, folks, that just because something is lawful in our liberty does not mean that it's wise or expedient. Lord, help us to learn from one another. We don't want to ever be guilty. Lord, help us as a people. We do not want to teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrine. It's important that what we teach is from the Word of God. And there are some things that today it seems like people are failing to understand. They say, oh, you do that, it's just a tradition. And someone says, yes, we've done it this way for 120 years, and that's what we need to do. Why do you do that? Well, because we've done it this way. Folks, that answer is not working anymore. That is teaching for doctrine, possibly something that was protective in its infancy. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond, where is the expediency? Is this thing helping us spiritually? Is it protective? I've heard people say things were tradition, and it's Scripture. I don't want to call something a tradition when I can turn to the Scripture and say, it's here, it's taught in the Word of God. But there are some things that are not that clear. When it comes to those issues, our purpose and desire should be, Lord, I want to please you. Just because the speed limit says 70 miles an hour, and the road is covered with ice, it's not wise to go 70 miles an hour. It's not edifying. It's going to end up causing an accident and hurting someone around us. So folks, while we have freedom in the Lord this afternoon, let's fix our heart and take heed that we love the Lord with all of our heart, that we value our freedom, that we won't preserve it, folks, by having a casual attitude. Anything goes. But there are governing principles of holiness that apply. And folks, it takes reasonable, responsible decisions to guard that freedom. Trust the Lord will bless you this afternoon in all your practical decisions. Is it restrictive? Oh, that's what the devil says. Or are there areas in life that I need to start being a little bit more protective to keep me from sliding back to the very things the Lord delivered me from? Amen.